How are y'all doing today? Good. Praise God. Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you today about the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is, I'm thinking about it as, and this will come clear what I mean, I hope, later on. And that is practicing what it means to live in the golden temple. We have an image of the golden temple that that God is giving to us through Isaiah. But first of all, I'd like to talk to you about how terrible I am at housework. So, when I was a student, I lived in my wife can bear witness to this. I lived in a little apartment in the Kitsilano area of Vancouver, which is where a lot of students lived in those days. This is the late 70s and early 80s. And there have been a lot of kind of very nice big old houses in that part of town that families had lived in at one point, but then had been divided up into rooms, you know, for students to live in. Lots of hippies, lots of students in Kitsilano in those days. Students had been divided to live in. And so we each got I was in a big old house that had once been probably a pretty grand old house, but had a single room. And that's kind of what we were, at least on the second floor. We were just a series of people with single rooms, common bathroom. And it was not the greatest place in a lot of ways. You could see signs of its former glory. It still had hardwood floors. It had a balcony, mostly roosted on by pigeons during my time. But you can see, it was kind of what's like John Calvin says about us, we're glorious ruins. It was kind of a glorious ruin. You could kind of see how it had been, but it wasn't so great right now. And I wasn't much help because I was not somebody to get out the floor wax and, you know, attempt to return it to its former glory. So I was praying one day. It's going to sound so banal, but anyway, but it had a really profound effect on me. I was praying one day, and this image comes to my mind, and the Lord shows me the room that I live in, and it is restored to its former glory, like it would have been. It was shiny. The floors were bright and cared for. Everything was, you know, clean and polished, and it was just glowing. It was so beautiful. And I felt the Lord say to me, this is the way it could be if you did just something every day, a little bit at a time. So I know the Lord was confronting me about housework, but he was doing a little more than confronting me about housework. I know he was talking to me about kind of how I live my life in general, or maybe all of us, how our lives in general, that it requires practice. We'll put it that way. We hear the word, it's a very important word. It's a slightly different translation, but it says at the end, and they shall practice war no more. The word of practice is very important. What we are going to practice. We can practice peace. We can practice war. Anyway, it is a Isaiah has a vision, as you can see here, of the golden temple, so to speak, and that is the Jerusalem is the way that it is in his time. It's kind of okay, but the city's increasingly full of idols. But he has this vision about what it's going to be like. It's going to be the greatest of all hills, and the whole of humanity is going to come to it. Not just Jews, but all human beings are going to come to it. And they're going to come to it to learn, but more specifically, they're going to learn how to walk in the way of the Lord. That is, they are going to learn how to practice the law of the Lord, how to practice peace. And so we can see this. We can see this in this wonderful vision that has been given to Isaiah. One day, this is the way things are going to be. The great commentator John Calvin says, "Isn't it wonderful that the Lord just doesn't just give us words in the Bible. He gives us images, right? Doesn't just say, you know, blah, 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 do this. It's not like shopping list, you know, things to do. He gives us these wonderful images. And the reason he gives us these images, I think he's saying, is because as motivating as words can be, you know, preachers hope they're motivating. We'll see. But, you know, we have, you know what that's like. But even better, God gives us images to go along with the words. Images are very compelling, right? They draw us towards something. And sometimes even we're in the times of greatest difficulty, when words do not help, or they help very little, or they are adjacent to helping, it's the images that help us even more. I think of that image that came to me when I was a student, still sticks in my mind, not just in terms of doing housework, but in terms of my life, in terms of structuring my life and practicing my faith and practicing just being a human being. So the strange thing about Isaiah being given this vision, this image, which is attractive and is going to sustain this people during difficult times, as these images do. Does this make sense to people? Do you often have an image in your mind that is quite powerful for you and kind of sustains you, or a memory that sustains you into the future when you're going through difficult times? The strange thing about it is you would think, okay, I know how the Bible works, right? Bible works is when things are bad, God's going to say to you, well, things are going to get better. And when things are good, we think they're good, God goes, watch out, things are going to get bad, right? But that's not what's happening here. In fact, things are okay. Things are okay. But Isaiah is going to spend the next 38 chapters telling them how they're going to hell in a handbasket, right? Because things are really going to come apart. The worship of idols is going to breed violence, which is going to breed injustice, which is going to breed pride, which is going to breed the Babylonians coming down on them, and everything being destroyed, the city being absolutely decimated. So Isaiah, it was a strange thing. Isaiah gives us this image before even things start to go bad. It's almost as like God is saying, you know what? No matter where you go, no matter how badly you mess things up, no matter how self-destructive you are, I am going to redeem you. Like I've quoted before, the Lord says, I want to be with you. I do not want to be without you. God has linked himself to us. And he knows, second chapter of Isaiah, he knows what's going to happen in the next 38 chapters, which is going to be disaster. But he says, and again, I'll quote Calvin on this, during all this, he says to us, do not look upon the ruins. Look upon the future city. You think about that as advice, right? We can look on our lives, which are sometimes mostly great, mostly fantastic, but sometimes the ruins, right? Sometimes we go through periods of ruins. And God through Isaiah says, do not look upon the ruins. Look upon the golden city that I have prepared for you. Even before you know the ruins are going to happen, I promise you that it's coming. The vision is, well, again, you're going to drive yourself into complete destruction, violence, and idols, but this image, remember, even when you are at your self-destructive worst, this image, this vision of this golden city where the nations will come and learn from you how to practice peace, keep this image firmly in your mind. So Calvin, again, I'm quoting Calvin a lot today, but that's okay. Calvin says, he's living in the middle of the 16th century. There's a lot of trouble. So it applies to, certainly applied to him, but it also applies to us. And that is, in case you hadn't noticed, we're not there yet. No Golden City when I drove to work this morning. No Golden Cities anywhere. We do not live in the Golden City. Calvin say, it's true we don't live in the Golden City, but Christ has come. Little bit at a time, it's appearing. A little bit at a time. So be patient. Do two things, he says, as we look upon things as they are, sometimes good, sometimes ruins. And as we're waiting and we're thinking, why isn't it here yet? Because Christ has come. He says, remember two things to keep in your mind. One is we should keep on our minds the vision of the Golden City that we are called to be. Keep it in our minds. Do not let darkness defeat that. Even at the worst of times, look upon the ruins and see the Golden City. And secondly, he said, back to the word practice, you can kind of practice what you want to be. He said, and that's why, you know, we hear this thousands of times, and practice war no more. You know, it's even at the United Nations, isn't it? Beat your swords into plowshares, practice war no more. So we kind of skip over it. But when he uses the word practice, he literally means the word practice, like we'd practice the piano or we'd practice something else. I can't think that I ever practice. I don't know what that would be. Something you may practice. My wife is practicing the guitar and doing very well, I must say. You know, something that you're practicing, right? Just the way that you can practice war, and this is elaborated, you can practice resentment, which turns into violence. That's what he says. Just as we can practice war, we can practice peace. That is, we can practice living a way in which we are aware of the inclinations in ourselves to be vengeful. And we can, by the grace of God, transform them into peace and into love. Practice. It can be practiced. Calvin also adds, everybody says they're for peace, except when somebody really gets on their nerves. And then we're not so peace. And, oh, yes, we all believe in peace, he says. Of course, we all believe in peace. Calvin goes, yeah, right. Tell me another one. You know, when people are really not annoying you, but he says, we practice peace. So my little tiny glimpse of the Golden City, something probably you've had yourself in a variety of ways, God saying to you, your life could be more like this. It requires patience, persistence, and practice. And during Advent, that's what we do. We're given these beautiful images in Advent to contemplate, to remember, to dwell on, and to practice and to keep in our minds through the reading of Scripture, through prayer, and through receiving the body and blood of Christ at the Eucharist. These images are renewed in our minds, and then to practice them on a day-by-day basis, to practice peace. Until the Prince of Peace himself comes, as he says he will. This is Advent. This is Advent. This is our task. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come into the world, and these images, which were mere, which were in the past given to the prophets, have come to their completion in you. Thank you for your kingdom coming into the world. Help us to keep this kingdom firmly in our mind and to follow the practices that lead to peace. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.